Hey y'all, it's Elliot Hall. Welcome to another episode of The Journey to St. Andrews. As y'all know, I've been constantly working on updating the sound quality. I've got a new mic. Hopefully this one will work great. Read a lot of reviews and learned a lot more about microphones than I ever thought I would. I definitely learned some back in college. I did communications. So this is by far the most I've learned about microphones in quite a while. But that being said, hopefully it works well, because if it does, I've got a nice little easy setup, and I want to bring you all the highest quality audio possible, so thanks for bearing with me. So with that all being said, let's dive right in. Well, about just a little over a week ago, I got to play TPC Sugarloaf here in Georgia, actually over in Duluth, and that was a pretty neat day because of how it happened. I met someone through the PGA crew when we were down in Orlando for the big national PGA show, and she was a member up there, and just a real friendly, engaging person, runs her own business, and is a member up at Sugarloaf. So she ended up trying some of our Calamity Jane beer and liked it, and then when we all got back to Georgia, she reached out and asked if I'd like to meet the F&B director, which is the food and beverage director, at Sugarloaf. I said, yeah, no, that'd be great. Thanks for the introduction. She's like, well, tell you what, come up and play golf and, you know, bring somebody with you and we'll all go out and play. First, that's just one of the coolest things about this industry is sometimes you get to do really cool things like that. And just, you get to meet some really friendly people, like Heather, which is her name. And also, she is a fantastic golfer. I think she's actually won the club championships a few times there at Sugarloaf. So, anyways, if you're listening, thanks very much, Heather. And then we played with the F&B director, who that's the beverage director. They get to make the decisions on what's going on with the clubhouse and the bars and things like that inside of the neighborhood. Very nice guy. Solid golfer as well, and we got to talk about bringing Calamity Jane in and some stuff we could do. Also, Heather has a charity too, where they do a 24-hour golf tournament, and they raise money. You literally play for 24 hours, and they raise money for her charity nonprofit that she does. And you play, you keep playing for 24 hours, and it's supposed to be a very fun time. They do a night golf setup because you are playing through the night, and I'm really interested in doing that. I actually took my brother as the other person in our group, and he was like, yeah, that seems like a lot of fun. So hopefully we all end up doing that. Just a pretty unique experience. I never really heard anything like that, so very cool. And Sugarloaf itself is a beautiful golf course. Of course, it's a TPC course, so you would assume that it's going to be a very nice golf course, which it held up to that standard. There's the Pines, Meadows, and Stables. I played Pines and Stables, which didn't shoot great. Granted, it was a brand new course, but it was a perfect day to be out for golf. So it was just a very enjoyable day out there. I didn't play bad. It's just, once again, that 80 yards in is where I just keep losing it. My putting is not being able to get a hold of my wedges. But I have been practicing a lot on that. We'll talk about that in a bit. But anyways, Sugarloaf, 27 holes. Got to play 18 of them. Beautiful course. Thanks again, Heather, for inviting me out to play. If you get a chance to play any of the TPCs, which I've also played Sawgrass down in Florida, I would highly recommend it. Don't turn it down. Move stuff around on your calendar and see if you can make it happen. Oh, also, we, of course, did have some Calamity Janes while we were out there. It was a working meeting, so looks like they'll probably be bringing in Calamity Janes. So any day you get to play golf and get some business done, that is a good day, in my opinion. So that's Sugarloaf. And that was the only golf that I got to play last week, and that was the end of February. We're moving into early March. And I didn't do a lesson either, but I did get to go out. I didn't work on my golf simulator. Well, I did a little bit. I'm getting a new netting system that I need to set up. The other one I have is just, I can't use my wedges. It needs to be higher, so that way it will actually catch my golf balls and not hit the ceiling and come back and hit me. So that was all I really did on the golf simulator. I did not do great in my golf league this year, or this week. I came in 5th out of 7th out of the 6 golfers I picked. And I did pick Knapp. I figured he was coming off of a hot streak from the week before, so picked him. He did fine, but 4 out of the 6 didn't make the cut. So I'm surprised I even came in 5th out of 7 in our golf league. So, anyways, going to definitely kind of look at that a little bit closer this week and see if I can make that more accurate or make some better picks. I guess I need to find a website that, you know, really dives into the data, because I was just kind of going off of feel, more or less, which, you know, is never a good way to do that. So, anyways, that's the update on the golf league and the golf simulator. And even though I didn't take a lesson with Jason, I have learned a lot from him. So I can get out and run drills that I do, or that I know now, and I can do those on my own. So I did get out to the driving range as well, and got to practice about an hour and a half. And a lot of that was putting, what I really need to work on. And I've talked about this before, but he really does promote that 4 feet, 40 feet, make all your 4 foot putts. So that way when you shoot from 40, you learn and get comfortable with getting it in 4 feet, you can two putt. And that's really the goal. If you can make it 40 feet, you can probably make it from 18 feet. Pretty simple. I like it. I'm definitely getting better at striking the ball. I'm thinking about it more. But I've added a little thing that I needed to do. And I've seen the professionals do this for years. I don't know why I didn't do it. I get back and I read my putts, but I'm trying to develop like a putting ritual before I make especially important putts, where not only do I get back and read the putt, I mark it, I pick up the ball, I clean it off, and then, you know, most golf balls now have an aiming line drawn onto them, and the ones I play with do. So I'm going to start actually aiming. I think it just adds a little extra element to really thinking my shot through and knowing where I want to go. And then just in my practicing, I can tell that sometimes I'll stand back up, look at it, read it, go, oh, no, that's going to be way off. And I just think it makes me hone in more and makes me not kind of carefree about getting up there and being like, oh, it's 10 feet away, I'm sure I'm going to two-putt this. Because sometimes you don't. And it's embarrassing and sucks and hurts your scorecard. So that all being said, I'm going to start doing that. So I'm adding a new element where it's like a little ritual of aim and forward 40. So that's my practice. And then just naturally, you'll get better. I hope that's the goal. So anyways, before I forget, on a score on the Sugarloaf, I don't know, because my brother was keeping score and he actually didn't save the scorecard. But let's assume it was a few over 100, just on how I was playing and what I had on the front nine. But I did do much better on the back nine than I did the front nine. So if I had to guess, it was probably mid-50s on the front nine, low 50s on the back nine, maybe 50. Because I really did kind of figure out the greens, which the beginning of the day were very slow because of some water that had been on the course the night before. But then as the sun came out and those greens heated up and dried up, they got much faster. And so it just felt more natural. And also, you get into your rhythm a bit more. But really being able to read the greens better on that back nine just goes to show you how the difference between 55, 56, and 50 or 51. It really adds up, of course. So, sorry, back to the lesson, or my self-taught lesson that I took with just going out to the driving range. And I went to the driving range at the Bobby Jones Golf Course because it's a beautiful course. Their driving range is great. And they have a putting and chipping green, which are free. And then they also have a free little par 3 links course. I don't even know if I call it that. It's really like a... It's really like more of a 5-hole, 100 yards out. I mean, that's exactly what I need to be working on, is that 80 to 100 yards in and then putting out. It's a free little course. You can get out there and do it. So go in the driving range, hit that, and putt for a while, maybe a good hour, hour and a half, and you really get like a well-rounded practice in. And with practicing too, I'm big on, I don't know who said this or who told me this, but practicing with a purpose. So like actually going out there and going, unless you've got, you know, you shoot 5 handicap or 12 handicap and you're happy with that, you know, and you just go out and just keep your base, stay standard, then by all means, you know, do whatever works. But if you're trying to actively get better, I think practicing with purpose, like I went out knowing the majority of what I needed to do was chipping and putting. So that's why I went out and I focused on it. When I was doing that, I focused the most. Sure, I hit my driver, 4 hybrid, 7 iron, but that was really more to make sure that I had those maintained with the muscle memory I had. And I will say I'm getting more comfortable with my driver, so I am working on a little bit of speed now and trying to figure out if I can get some more distance out of my driver speed, because I think there is room to do that in my game, late 30s, mid-30s, 37. So I think I can develop some speed and hopefully get that drive up to something pretty solid in my mid-40s, when I'll probably just naturally progress to a slower speed. But just with aging. But all that being said, I went out there with a purpose on what I needed to work on, and I think it really helps. So with my chipping, I've kind of taken a new approach to it right now. And that is, I'm just focused on... I'm taking a new approach to it right now. And I am focused on having my 60 degree, my 56, and my 52, and just hitting them more or less full speed, full swing, and knowing exactly what those distances are. I want to know those first. And getting out there on the driving range and focusing on that, and it's only been one or two lessons kind of doing that, but for the most part, I know what I hit those clubs. I hit my 52, 80 degrees, or sorry, my 52 degree, about 80 yards, 70 to 80 yards. I hit my 56, around 60 yards, give or take. And then I hit my 60, 35 to 45, full swing. So knowing all that, now I can at least have a very accurate look at what I'm doing when I get 80 yards in. Sure, elevations, higher greens, what types of greens, how, so the false front, all that's going to come into play, and yes, I'm going to have to learn that just through course management, but at least now I'm not going, what the hell do I use? I'm at 70, I don't know, do I muscle up? I know that I would have to muscle the hell out of my 60 or 56 to get it to 75, so I need to just get up there. You know, the greens aren't 2 yards wide. I've got probably 20 yards to play with, 15 yards to play with, and at least I'm putting it on the green. I'm not shooting out of the sand, hopefully, or shooting the ball over and then just playing army golf, going over the green, back and forth, back and forth. So that's really where my practicing was focused on. And after I get that down, then I will start working on nuancing between those ranges, but that's more than enough for me at my game right now. I get down to 15 handicap instead of the 20, 22 I'm sitting at right now, then sure, it'll be more or less I have to learn those instead of just focusing on what I know. So get up there, use course management, play smart, and practice with a purpose, those are my big takeaways from this episode. There is a couple things I'm working on that I'll talk about as I kind of flesh them out more. But hopefully y'all are liking the new regular episodes, a little more scheduled, more frequently. I know I'm enjoying it and getting a lot out of it. As long as I can get this audio down and make sure that I've got all that figured out appropriately, then I'm feeling pretty good about this. I've got this commute. It is very much therapeutic and also makes the commute a little bit better. So I plan to do these regularly, like I'm talking about. And anyways, still, if the audio's not there, bear with me. I will continue to always work on it. But I think that's it. Please like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast. I'm not sure what you're listening to it on, but we're on a bunch of stuff. So whichever one it is, please do that. As always, thanks for listening. Have a great day, y'all. I'm Elliot Hall.